overseas now. For several years, the Central Asian Republic of Uzbekistan has been a close ally of the U.S. in the war on terror. Even so, the U.S. State Department is threatening to withdraw millions of dollars in aid to the former Soviet Republic unless it improves its human rights record. NPR's Ivan Watson traveled to the Uzbek capital, Tashkent, to see what the Uzbeks need to do.
At first glance, Uzbekistan's well-maintained cities and countryside have none of the garbage, graffiti, and rampant alcoholism that plague its former colonial ruler, Russia. On sunny afternoons in Tashkent, couples stroll arm in arm and boys splash in the countless fountains that decorate the Uzbek capital's miles of lush green parks. This sense of order is due in large part to the strict discipline imposed by Uzbek President Islam Karimov's regime. He's been in power here since the collapse of the Soviet Union. But now experts say more and more Uzbeks are willing to openly criticize Karimov's iron-fisted rule.
I would describe Uzbekistan as a decaying dictatorship.
Martha Olcott is a Central Asia scholar at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace.
In Uzbekistan, people were frightened always that the regime would find out that they were disloyal. That's what's beginning to break down. That's that decaying quality.
Last month, 58-year-old Utkur Karimov, who is of no relation to the Uzbek president, overcame his fear and decided to speak out to the foreign press. Utkur says Uzbek police raided his apartment in March and detained his entire family, including five grandchildren, all under the age of 12. Utkur says police accused his two grown sons of being Islamist militants and then tried to beat confessions out of them.
They beat my older son with their fists, with batons. They threw him off a table under the ground three times and made him wear a gas mask backwards so he had trouble breathing. They also beat my middle son so hard he couldn't even put his pants on.
2 months later, Utkur's 28-year-old son, Buhadir, remains in police custody awaiting trial. Utkur's family was just one of many swept up in a police crackdown that followed 5 days of clashes in Tashkent and other Uzbek cities last March between Islamist militants and Uzbek security forces that reportedly left 40 people dead. Most of the casualties were the militants themselves, among them for the first time in Uzbek history, women, who staged clumsy, amateurish suicide attacks against police stations. Uzbekistan's Foreign Minister Sadiq Safayev says those responsible for the attacks were linked to the far more deadly terrorist bombings in Madrid and Istanbul.
There is an international link, and we know that some terrorists who committed those terroristic attacks were trained abroad, and it showed that they are part of the broader system.
But President Karimov's critics say he's using the war on terror as an excuse to suppress domestic dissent. Atanazar Arifov is one of the leaders of Uzbekistan's oldest opposition party.
Why torture? Why falsify evidence? Who stands to gain from jailing innocent people? These are methods used to exaggerate the threat of terrorism and extremism, because then Western governments and international institutions give Uzbekistan money to fight terrorists.
Although many opposition leaders have fled into exile to escape government persecution, Arifov concedes that of late, Tashkent has allowed him and other secular parties a bit more freedom to operate. And just last month, some American human rights activists applauded Tashkent's decision to allow them to monitor Uzbek prisons for alleged abuses. But Alison Gill of Human Rights Watch's Tashkent office remains skeptical.
The game on the surface is that Uzbekistan is a rights-respecting regime that is on its way to democracy and that it's making incremental steps toward democratization and human rights. Under the surface, there is no evidence that this government cares about democracy or human rights, and there is, in fact, no progress being made.
In response to continuing human rights abuses and lack of reform here, the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development has cut aid to Uzbekistan. The United States is now threatening to do the same. Uzbek Foreign Minister Sadiq Safayev suggests U.S. sanctions would only hurt the war on terror.
And of course it will be blow on international and anti-terrorist coalition. It's not only about the money and the financial assistance. It will be, of course, a negative signal.
Most Uzbeks appear more concerned over the state of the economy than issues like free speech and human rights. In private conversations across the country, many Uzbeks complained that government corruption and Soviet-style bureaucracy were stifling foreign investment and killing private enterprise. Some also said they have little hope for the future in a country where the average salary is less than a dollar a day. Ivan Watson, NPR News.